This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mego and Shime, Chris Shime is off today, so we're joined by John Lyons, and that there is Drake May talking about the leadership push that he's getting from Mike Vrabel. Looks like part of that push is going to be playing at least one or two series against Minnesota today. That's the expectation for a big bulk of the Patriots starters. Stephon Diggs is out there warming up, or was just out there warming up on the field in his helmet. Jared Wilson, who missed seemingly entirely the second joint practice on Thursday out of Minnesota, looks like he's going to try to play for at least a couple series in today's game. Minnesota on the other side, not playing J.J. McCarthy, very young, very inexperienced quarterback because he was out with a torn ACL all last season, and seemingly not playing a lot of their starters. So, John, I was watching Early Edition on NBC Sports Boston yesterday. I was hosting BST late in the night, so I was seeing what Trenny and Mike Giardi and Phil Perry were talking about. And all three of them agreed that they thought Drake May, if they had it their way, shouldn't play at all in this preseason game. That he got enough work and joint practices, and he kept his head about him and looked pretty good for his responsibilities with the offense in the second day of joint practices, and that's enough. He didn't have any turnovers in those two joint practices, including in very tight red zone work on the second day. So it's not worth it to throw him out there in the second preseason game to maybe get his head knocked off because there's going to be so many actual sacks in this game. Even if he's out for two series, it's not worth it. That kind of surprised me. Like, do you feel that way, John?
I would like to see Drake May play most of the first half, and I think it'd be valuable experience for him, but it hinges to me, Mego, totally on the Patriots' offensive line. If they're playing like they did a couple days ago and Drake May is getting smoked, then, yeah, play him a series or two and get him out of there. But if they're holding up and they're doing all right, I would like to see a little bit more of him. And things got kind of thrown out of whack last week because Travion Henderson had that opening kick return for a touchdown. So May played a couple series. I think it went a little later into the game than they would have liked because, again, it got thrown off by that kick return. And you look at their schedule coming up, they have the Giants next week on a Thursday night, so it's a really short week for a preseason game. I wouldn't expect to see many of the Patriots starters in that game because at that point, you'll be just over a couple weeks between then and the start of the regular season. So I think today would be the day, especially if Stephon Diggs is out there too. Today would be the day. Maybe try to play Drake May most, if not all, of the first half. See if you can get him a two-minute drill situation at the end of the first half. And then sit him down the second half. Sit him down most of Thursday night's preseason game next week and have him ready to go for September 7th. And as I kind of mentioned earlier in the show, this Vikings defense could end up being the best unit the Patriots go against all year long. It might be beneficial for May to have a little bit of extra experience against a unit that good. Again, as long as the protection is holding up enough.
I'm not fully ready to look as far ahead as the final preseason game. Just focusing on this game, I didn't see enough from the passing game against Washington. And they only had the one joint practice with Washington that I thought was a really strong day, not just for Drake May, but most of the offense. That I thought that they came away looking like the better offense going up against Washington's defense. But just comparing what Jaden Daniels did without Terry McLaurin out there. But Stephon Diggs was absent for about half of that joint practice on your side. So it doesn't completely equal out. But I walked away going, the Patriots look like they're a well-oiled machine. They look like they understand Josh McDaniels' concepts better. They look better connected. The chemistry's better. But all that to say, I haven't been on the ground in Minnesota. It sounds like the second day was just a total S show from the offensive line perspective. But when we saw that preseason game in the couple of series, we didn't see much from the passing game. You know,
I don't
you
think
saw
May completed a pass to a wide receiver, right?
Right. And the attempt that he had for Mac Hollins was like not even realistic. You know, it was like borderline throwing it away, how overthrown it was. And so for me, I'm like, I think with somebody like Drake, who started just 12 games last season, started 26 games in his college career, he's not that experienced.
And you mentioned the games he started last year. He left multiple games early. He left that Jets game early.
Well, but that would go towards like that's why he shouldn't play in a preseason game, right? Because
I think he can't protect himself. I think he's done a better job this summer of protecting himself. And we saw that in the preseason game against the Commanders, where the couple runs that he did have, including the touchdown run, things kind of set up and it was wide open for him to run. It wasn't him being reckless. And I know there were some reports of that a little bit in the joint practice against Minnesota, but I think on the whole, he has been better about that. So I would like to see him show that a little bit more against a really good defense in Minnesota, but also I just think he does need a little bit more of the experience. Again, because like I said, I just don't expect him to really play at all next week's preseason game. So this is the last chance, I think, for him to get a decent amount of game experience before you get to September 7th.
617-779-7937 is the number. If you want to chime in, how much Drake May do you want to see in this preseason game? Or are you siding with our friends over on Early Edition last night who were saying, it's not worth it, guys. It's preseason. It's pretend football. It's not real. It doesn't count, and you need him for 17 games because, by the way, there's a pretty, pretty big gap between Drake May to Josh Dobbs, the passion.
But I think one thing about the preseason that is really beneficial is it's unscripted, right? These joint practices, I think, are extremely valuable, but they are scripted, right?
Oh, the reports, sorry, just really quickly, to make that point, the reports that came out that Kayshon Booty ended a pretty terrible period of 11v11s between the Patriots and the Vikings with this great touchdown grab. It was like, well, that was an extra first down that the Vikings just gifted the Patriots because it's practice and they wanted to run something else.
Right. So those joint practices can be extremely valuable because you can work on everything. The value of a preseason game is it could be first and 10 and maybe you have a run stuffed and next thing it's second and 12 and you just have to react. And then it's third and 4 and you have to react. And that, to me, that is the benefit as well. How does May do in these unscripted situations? Because again, we saw him last year, but as we said, limited starting experience. And it's not just May either. There's a lot of guys around him that have not played together before, whether it's Campbell and Wilson, who we talked about earlier in the show, or Diggs or Mac Hollins, Kyle Williams. Like, all these guys have either not played with each other, not played in the NFL yet before. Like it's valuable for these guys to work together. It's not like you mentioned Minnesota's going to sit out a lot of guys. Washington did last week. Well, Washington's offense had a ton of guys that went to the NFC Championship game last year. They know what they can do. This Minnesota offense, I know McCarthy is new to it, having missed last year with injury, but they have a lot of guys on that offense that won 14 games a year ago.
Yeah, I
and
think
they know what
I
they can do.
I still think it's weird that they're
I agree.
Sitting
I would
McCarthy
like to see McCarthy
completely.
Play.
I don't like to question Kevin O'Connell with quarterbacks.
He does know what he's doing
he's
with them.
He's a magician. But it does seem weird to me, especially because from my perspective, it's like my feeling with Drake May, again, is going back to the preseason game last Friday where he has that awful turnover, and it's the kind of turnover that looks like it's born out of lack of experience and lack of composure. And for that reason, combined with the in-stadium scrimmage a week before that when he had two interceptions and what was a very goofy scrimmage, but still pretty competitive, I go, well, he's got to get more in these situations so that he can say, okay, that there's that mistake. I know now, absolutely not going to forget that and not going to do that again. And that's what Mike Vrabel's asking from him. He's not asking for him to be perfect, but he's asking for him to, when he has that experience, don't do it again. Don't make it a habit. And I think that there, because of that, there's value in him being out there against another NFL team, even if it is twos and threes. If it's the twos and threes, then maybe it's even a better kind of situational on-ramp to the regular season, because he should have the talent upper hand, especially if he's playing with his other starters.
Yeah, you would hope. And just to go back to that situation you mentioned last week with the fumble against the Commanders, that's one of those unscripted things, right? He fumbles, makes a bad decision, Commanders take over. So what does he do to respond? He leads a touchdown drive right after that, which I thought showed good mental toughness, showed good
but
poise.
But again, Lions, like, the touchdown drive is a, and I don't want to beat up on this because I want to see him run in the red zone, and that's the, especially design runs were lacking for him last year. I don't want him to play with one arm tied behind his back when he's a great mobile quarterback, but we know he can have a 5-yard rushing touchdown. I want to see if he can connect with Mac Hollins in the red zone. I want to see whoever else is healthy out there, even if it's a running back like Travion Henderson, who is acting as a pass catcher. Like, I want to see if he can pick apart whatever defense is out there through the air, especially in the red zone, rather than just taking off with his feet. We know he can take off with his feet. We saw it all last year. It was the only thing the offense could do last year.
Yeah, and so can you see more of that? Like, today could give you opportunities for that. We saw in the preseason game against Washington and a little bit of practices, Kyle Williams looked really good. Today would be a good chance. Maybe he gets a few snaps with Drake May in game action and see how that works together. Because I think, you know, their goal should be over the course of this season, but also future years, those two guys work really well together. And this would be an opportunity for him to do things like that, especially, as you mentioned, in the red zone, right? Can he connect with, whether it's Mac Hollins or Austin Hooper or Henderson, can he move the ball down the field, get in the red zone, get over the hump and score, not using his legs? Like, those are all things that could come up today against a good, well-coached defense. Like, I just think it's a really good opportunity for him to play a half against a good defense, and not just the overall experience point, but the specific experience of different situations, unscripted situations, against a good defense right away here in August.
Yeah, I think a half might be too much to ask for. I think even a quarter, like him playing an entire quarter is going to be a lot to ask for. All the reporting seems to indicate that it's going to be similar to last week in terms of the series that he gets. I don't know, as you mentioned, if that will be adjusted by the touchdown that started off that game from Trevion Henderson.
Because you think if he gets three series, that might be into the second quarter at that point, you know, depending on how the game is flowing there. Yeah.
Yeah, which was an incredibly fun start to the game. And I would love to see that from Travion Henderson.
Would find that again, yes.
Phil Perry did just tweet out, the quarterbacks and centers led by Drake May take the field, expecting to see a series or two from May and other healthy offensive starters this afternoon. Again, we'll see if that includes one number eight, Stephon Diggs. And right after Trending with Tom, we're going to get into the week that Stephon Diggs had, because it was very eventful. He talked to a lot of people, or rather one person very prominently, and a lot of people talked on his behalf. And we'll talk about Stephon Diggs and how he's fitting in with the Mike Vrabel program right after Trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
It was another magical Friday night at Fenway. The Sox are tied with the Marlins going into the bottom of the ninth, and with the bases loaded, Trevor Story signaled to right to walk it off for the Sox. 2-1 was your final score. Here's what Trevor Story had to say after the game.
Just in those bigger situations, less is more. And because you feel all the energy, you feel the excitement of everything, and you know it's easy to get big in that situation. So for me, just trying to shoot something like that and hit the ball hard, put the barrel on it.
Giolito went 6 1/3, striking out 5 along the way last night. The Sox play game 2 of their 3-game series this afternoon against the Marlins, and as always, you can listen right here on WEEI, the Shaw's and Star Market, Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Coverage starts at 3:10 on the Mass Mutual pregame show with our good friend Joe Weil. First pitch at 4:10 with Brian Bayo on the mound. Will and Sean have the call for tonight's game. And the Patriots play preseason game number 2 against the Minnesota Vikings today at 1 o'clock. Stephon Diggs, Ramondre Stevenson, and Christian Gonzalez are all listed as questionable for today's game. I'm Tom Crisafulli, and that's what's trending here on WEEI, WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Diana Rossini of The Athletic from her podcast Scoop City, sitting down with Stephon Diggs just a couple days ago, talking about, is he pushing too hard? Megan Ottolini here with John Lyons. We're with you for about another half hour before Rob Bradford takes over with his Baseball Isn't Boring reports from Fenway Park. But I want to start, John, with how Diana Rossini, who had that exclusive with Stephon Diggs, framed the beginning of the question of, is Stephon Diggs pushing too hard? In which she says, I've been hearing that you're pushing too hard. And Stephon Diggs says, I've been hearing that too. And as somebody who's been down there for basically every day of training camp until they went to Minnesota recently, I haven't been hearing that. Like,
I didn't either when I was down there.
I was a little curious about that because I think everything that everyone agreed on down there, or, you know, most our takeaways is he's a pretty active participant, and that's great. Like, he looks good. He looks healthy. He came back from his ACL rehab and looked pretty immediately ready to go once we saw him in OTAs, but I don't think anybody was watching him going, Diggs is going too hard. Well, Diggs, if Diggs is going to be healthy for the season, he needs to step back. And so I'm wondering from Diana's perspective, is she hearing that from the coaching staff? Like, is the coaching staff having to clamp down on Steph Diggs? Because that's good information to know. And then I think the point of the conversation that so many people here, at least locally, are focused on is Diggs's weirdo answer that he's not excited and the coaches aren't excited for the beginning of the season. And I'll just tell you very quickly, and then I'll ask you, John, your interpretation of that. My interpretation of that is the old, I don't get too high, I don't get too low, I'm the same guy every day. I think it was his way of both trying to fall in line, actually, with the Vrabel program of, I'm not talking about expectations, I'm not projecting out, and I'm not just talking about my own expectations either. I think he was trying to present himself as, like, a little bit sarcastically level-headed and playing around a little bit. And people look at it like, oh man, like this, he's such a problem. Everybody, it's not working. He's not excited and he's pushing too hard and there's disagreement between the staff. I'm going to get to what actually concerns me with Stephon Diggs. This interview and what he's expressing here doesn't concern me, but do you think I'm wearing rose-colored glasses?
No, I think you're right. And I think this interview is one of those classic cases of if you read it in print or on Twitter, you probably had a different feeling than if you actually watched it and watched the way he said it.
Like a worse feeling?
I think you had a worse feeling if you just read it. Whereas if you watched it, because when I watched it, I read it kind of, or I saw it as kind of that old Belichick Brady phrase of not riding the wave and kind of keeping an even keel and one step at a time, which is kind of that to me is what he was trying to say. I think he worded it in kind of an awkward way. Like if he had said, I'm not trying to get too excited or I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, it wouldn't be a story at all. But because he worded it as, oh, I'm not excited, coaches aren't excited.
I think he was also trying to be a little bit of a, I think he was trying to be a little, like, snarky there.
Maybe a little bit for sure, because obviously his recovery, you could argue, is the third or fourth biggest storyline around this team, right? Behind Mike Vrabel and Will Campbell, like, the next biggest storyline, arguably, is Diggs' recovery. And we've been watching him closely, those of us that have been down at training camp, Patriots fans have been watching it. And what has been the biggest Stephon Diggs story this year? It's been that pink bag boat incident, right? Like that. and look, he's looked really good in camp, and I think he's going to be a pretty good player this year. Not a number one, but pretty good. But if we're being honest, like that has been the single biggest story about him this year, and maybe he's frustrated by that a little bit too. I don't know. But I really, when I watched this, I took it as someone saying, hey, I'm working towards getting back for week one, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. I just don't think he worded it in a really good way, because I think you could misinterpret that or interpret that as saying, well, he's not really super excited going forward.
Yeah, to me, this was kind of weird. Like, it made things
look
weird.
Yeah, weird is maybe a good way to put it.
And it was an awkward way to present yourself and present your relationship with the team, but I don't think it came off as like destructive or he's a pain in the ass or anything like that. I think it was just a little weird, a little awkward. But
no, and I think this is a reputation thing too, right? Because
right.
He does have a history, and I mentioned the pink bag thing, but towards the end in Buffalo, right, there were frustrations between him and the team, right? Towards the end in Minnesota, there was some frustrations there. So even though early on in a lot of these places things have gone well, there have been points where frustrations have come up between him and multiple teams. And I think people then see that, think, oh no, maybe this is the start of the frustrations coming up. And again, part of that is his own fault with his own reputation and situations that have come up before.
And I might just be trying to stay optimistic because, one, we haven't gotten into the regular season yet, so I haven't seen him be somebody who burns the locker room to the ground from his personality, and I haven't seen what his production is. But we've been waiting for a receiver who at least has the ceiling that he has for so many years.
A long
time. Since Julian Edelman retired. And so I'm trying to stay optimistic and not jump to conclusions about weirdo answers that he gives, because Travion Henderson looks awesome. I'm excited about him. I think Kayshon Booty is coming along nicely, and I do think he's going to have a breakout year. Pop Douglas is a nifty slot receiver who's turning into a great, you know, safety release valve for your young quarterback. But I think that they need Diggs to be productive and to work and to be happy with the team. And this does not maybe I'm being, I don't know, naive, but this doesn't raise a huge red flag for me. When I talked to receivers coach Todd Downing on Monday before the team left for Minnesota, we had a conversation that we're going to play here. And I know these quotes have been around a little bit this week, but I wanted to give the full context of it because I want to talk about what concerns me from his answer that I think is a real football question. So here it is from Monday.
You know Stephon quite well. How confident are you at this point of preseason that he's going to be able to be the game changer that a lot of fans maybe are hoping he'll be at the beginning of the regular season?
I think where he's at in his process right now is where we want him to be. You know, he's working hard when he's out there with his reps, and you see him making some plays. The big thing with him is understanding that we can't confuse results with the process. So if there's a day that he doesn't have a whole bunch of production, that doesn't mean he didn't do his job and get open. The process for him is going to have to be learning this system and learning exactly what the quarterback and what Josh are looking for. So, and, you know, and making sure that he's in the right spot at the right time. As he continues to refine that, I think he'll stay on the trajectory we expect him to be on.
Okay, so the first part of that, I'm just going to say, the like process versus results, that's just a talking point. That's like a refrain that's coming out of the receiver's room. We heard Kyle Williams say it later that same day. It's just something that they say, like kind of the idea of you run your routes, you know where you're supposed to be, and it's up to the quarterback to get the ball to you. You can't just be looking at, hey, I had five catches in practice today, and then the next day I only get targeted once, and so I, you know, these results. But the second part of that, John, do you think I'm reading too much into it when he says the big thing for Diggs is going to be really understanding the offense and knowing where the quarterback and Josh want him to be? Because for somebody who's turning 32, who's a 10-year vet and played at an extremely high level, I never thought that there would be any question by the time you're in mid-August that there would be discrepancy about where he's supposed to be in the offense and what the quarterback and coach expect of him.
I think it's something to monitor, Mego, because he's a guy, and I know there was some overlap with him and Brian Daboll in Buffalo, so maybe some Patriots similar style of stuff that the Bills ran with Daboll, though not exactly the same. Daboll had been to some other places. But this is an offense, I think, that's going to be overall a lot different than what he's been in the past, and he's working his way back from injury. So really, step one for Diggs is to get to a point where he can practice every day and be healthy. And I think he's pretty much gotten to that point, right? He's out there almost every day, and when he's out there, he's participating quite a bit. I think he's pretty much at that point. So now the next step is, all right, getting fully comfortable in this offense. And when I've been down at practice, I mean, I haven't really noticed him lining up wrong or being way out
right.
of place.
He's not doing some of the stuff that we've seen, honestly, at times from when he was healthy, Kendrick Bourne, where you see the quarterback waving to him like, where are you?
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, Joey Galloway in 2009 Part 2 who was like, or Reggie Wayne who was like, yeah, I don't get this. This is too much, and I'm all set with the Patriots system. I think he's just kind of working his way back, and it's a combination of health and understanding the scheme kind of together in one. Because let's not forget, he wasn't really there for much of OTAs, right? Mini camp, limited training camp. I think, he's at the point now where he's mostly a full participant, but he had some limitations at the very start of camp, it felt like to me. So I wonder if Todd Downing there is kind of talking about, all right, now we're kind of moving on to the next phase. And again, in the Patriots offense, ton of route adjustments, sight adjustments by wide receivers. Diggs has to get used to all of that. And not just get used to that, get on the same page with Drake May with that stuff and on the same page with McDaniels as well. And I think that's kind of the phase they're at now, in between now and opening day, to kind of get on the same page of all that stuff.
I agree. And I think back to it wasn't the end of minicamp. It was the beginning of training camp, talking to Steph Diggs about the playbook and him being very transparent and saying, because we were asking about his trust with Drake and understanding McDaniel's system, and him saying that was still a process for him, which fine, sure. It was the very beginning of training camp. But now we're at a point where you're wrapping up joint practices and you're getting down to, after today, you're just going to have one preseason game left. I just didn't think that this was ever going to be something that we'd even be talking about or, to your point, needing to monitor, because this is one of the big reasons you brought him in, is that not only is he a tremendous weapon, but he'd be a plug-and-play guy that actually the other receivers in the room would be able to look at and say, okay, that's how I'm going to go about it on the field. And I'm not saying that that's not the case. I just thought the way that Todd brought that up as this is what's going to be the biggest part of Steph's process right now to being able to be out there for week one. And as I said in that question, be a game changer, not just be the second or third receiver out there. Like, I do think that that's something.
And I also feel like there's kind of an effort here, and this goes back to the Diggs not excited comments, to temper expectations a little bit with him. Because you look at, when you think of Stephon Diggs, what do you think of? You think of, you know, the great player in Minnesota, the great player in Buffalo, the guy that last year before an injury was on pace to have 1,000 yards. Maybe they look at it and say, hey, this is a guy that's better than anyone else we have, and he's still a really good player, but maybe he's not the elite player that he was 3 or 4 years ago, or even the great player he was the first half of last year before injury, or at least he won't be early as he works his way back. Because as I said earlier in the show, when they first signed Diggs, a lot of the conversation was, hey, will he be back by Halloween, or will he be back by Columbus Day? Now we're talking about week one, which is a great thing, right? It means he's recovered really well, but I wonder if they are making kind of an effort to say, hey, he might be out there week one and week two, but he's not going to be out there with 8 catches for 115 yards and a touchdown in week one and week two.
It looks like he will not be out there today, even though he was out there just a couple of minutes ago.
Warming up. Yeah.
The latest from Dan Roach from WBZ, who's on the ground there in Minnesota, is that Stephon Diggs is not playing today. He's out for warm-ups in a sweatshirt. So if you look on Twitter or anywhere else, you can see some pictures of him basically just suited up in his sweats with a baseball cap on, hanging out on the sideline, which, hey, I obviously want to see him, but that's probably part of his plan of getting back and being healthy, and hopefully, fingers crossed, that's for week one, where he's ready to go. He understands where the quarterback wants him to be, and he understands what Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, expects of him. Let's take a call here. Jay from North Carolina. Jay, you want to talk about Drake May?
Yeah, well, I think it's a little early to it's an acid test for the offensive line. A little early, but Minnesota has one hell of a defense. And I'm hoping that Drake May will emulate Ben Roethlisberger, who was the best quarterback I ever saw to extend a play. And if the offensive line falls short, Drake May is going to be running for his life. I hope that's not the case. I hope Vrabel has been able to pull it together, and the offensive line has been able to pull it together.
Thank you, Jay. So with the news that Stephon Diggs isn't going to play, and I don't know the status yet, I've been monitoring, but I haven't seen anything on Hunter Henry, like somebody else who's going to be a big part of the offense once the regular season actually starts. I do wonder how often we watch these series in the preseason, and especially if you're a fan who doesn't get to watch all of joint practices, you're just watching highlights on social media and reading reports. Like, are you just telling yourself, well, once Steph Diggs is out there, once Hunter Henry's out there, it's going to look like a pretty different offense, and I'm not worried about whatever I see in preseason?
And it's not unprecedented for the, like, we did, and I'm not trying to compare him directly to this guy, but we saw in 2007 another veteran receiver, Randy Moss, sat out all of the preseason and was fine to go as he recovered from an injury in week one. So it's not unprecedented. I would like to see Diggs out there. And again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, in that there's a lot of guys in this offense that have not played together before or have not played for Josh McDaniels before. And I think the more experience those guys can get together is a good thing. Like, it's not just Diggs in a vacuum. It's Diggs with May. It's Diggs lining up next to DeMario Douglas. It's Will Campbell and Jared Wilson together with Garrett Bradbury at center. Like, that to me is the piece of it. It's not just Diggs in a vacuum, right? It's, can these guys get more and more comfortable playing together? And I think, again, the joint practices were a great opportunity for that. I think today would have been another really good opportunity for that. Obviously, Diggs won't be part of that. We'll see how many of those other guys are.
Morgan Moses is also not going to be playing. Of course, your right tackle, who is the eldest member of your Patriots roster.
Talk about
right now.
NBA-style load management with Morgan Moses.
So that's
this
the one other thing I want to bring up here before we get to our final looks at what we want to see from individual guys in preseason in this game. Is that with Morgan Moses, with Carlton Davis, these guys who aren't like Steph Diggs. I know Moses is coming and Carlton Davis are both coming off their own injuries from last year, but not being, I mean, Steph Diggs has been much more active and a participant than those guys. And I wonder if it's, if we're going to look back on Vrabel and say he really trusted these veteran guys to come in and be professional and in terms of understanding the program here and what they're going to do on the field. But at what point do we look at this and say, like, they barely played with the team during training camp? And Carlton Davis has barely played with the team.
Yeah, and I think this speaks to how thin they are. Like, what happens at right tackle if Morgan Moses gets hurt? Right? I think, like, you've got, like, what happens at tight end if Hunter Henry gets hurt? Or, and I know Spillane played in the preseason game last week, but what happens at linebacker if a guy like him gets hurt? So that's the double-edged sword. Like, as I said before, I would love for these guys to get experience together. I do understand to an extent why they're being careful, because yeah, they have some quality starters now, but they're just so I mean, you could say the same thing, like, what if Mike Onwenu gets hurt at right guard? Do you have a lot of answers behind him? You don't even know who your left guard is right now. So they're just so thin. I wonder if they're going in the direction of, we just want to get to week one healthy and have everybody out there, because we have a long season, later bye week, and we have, in Moses' case, an older guy on top of it. I wonder if this speaks to just not just Moses himself, but also how thin maybe they view their own roster and their own, you know, starting depth.
Megan Onalini here with John Lyons for one more segment before we hand it over to Rob Bradford from Fenway Park. We're going to talk about, well, it looks like the Vikings are holding around 35 of their players from the game today, the preseason game that kicks off at 1. So from Vikings reporters saying that, so that's even fewer starters that are going to be playing than you saw in the Washington game. But on the Patriots side, who else are we looking forward to seeing? Steph Diggs, seemingly not a participant. Morgan Moses, not a participant. Drake May, going to be out there for a couple series. Who do we want to look at in this preseason game, aside from maybe just the starters? We'll hit that right after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
2 minutes left here for me, Megan Adelini, and John Lyons before Rob Bradford checks in from Fenway Park with Baseball Isn't Boring, turning the page back to the Red Sox, who are playing meaningful games right now, as he just noted rudely on Twitter, saying preseason football is boring, which, to be honest, sometimes it is, but it matters a lot for a lot of these guys. And the guy that I'm looking for, John Lyons, in this game, of course, is who else? Efton Chisholm. I wrote at the beginning of the week about the depth chart in the wide receiver group for the Patriots and how that final spot, if they are keeping six receivers, in my opinion, is going to come down to Efton Chisholm III versus Javon Baker. And I think it's such a fascinating either or, if that's the matter of how they're going about it, because on the one side, you've got a guy who has some physical limitations, but he understands space. He works super hard. He's in the Danny Amendola mold, and the coaches adore him. And then the other side of that coin is Javon Baker, who has all the physical talent in the world, is trying to prove that he's not the unproductive and maybe sometimes checked out unprofessional guy that he was in his rookie season. He's here for the program now. And which one do you go with?
Yeah, I think that's a key thing to watch, really, not just today, but for the rest of training camp and the preseason as well, because it feels like a lot of their receiver depth chart is set in that, you know, Diggs and Kyle Williams and Mac Hollins, like those guys, Douglas, obviously, like those guys are definitely making the team. Kayshon Booty's definitely making the team. I mean, that's five guys right there. So generally, teams only keep six. Can Chisholm and Baker be good enough to try to convince them to keep seven, which is a little unusual? We'll see. Or is it going to be those two guys for one? A couple other things I'm watching today, Mego. The kicker competition. We saw Parker Romo hit the 57-yard field goal against Washington. How do the kickers look today? And I'm also watching safety, right? Kyle Duggar feels like is firmly with the second team now. They've been using a lot of Craig Woodson, Jalen Hawkins, Jabril Peppers with that first team. Do all three of those guys play? If they do they play together? What's that rotation look like? Because it's a safety group that I think there is a decent amount of talent there, but over the last few years, they haven't been able to find the right pieces to fit together, and it feels like maybe they finally have some of those guys to fit together. So I'm watching that really closely today as well.
All right. Well, you can read my postgame column on WEI.com. John, are you writing anything off this game, or are you just going in and taking your notes, and you're going to supply us with all your observations next week?
I'm getting ready for filling in for Jones and Keefe with you, Mego, next Wednesday.
Beautiful.
Looking forward to it. So that'll be my main focus today.
Awesome. We'll be on for 3 days next week. Until then, thanks for hanging out with us. Enjoy your Saturday. Enjoy your preseason football if that's what you choose. Or if you want to check in on the Red Sox side of things, Rob Bradford of Baseball Isn't Boring. He gets you going from Fenway Park in just a couple of minutes. Thanks so much, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.